please ask them. There's no new science here. I'm just going to report the facts, and I got the idea thinking back about 25 or 30 years ago. I was listening to Bill Mayfield make a presentation about what it would take for a gen to have a UD press, and what gens were going to look like in the future, and what it took for them to stay in business, and some of the things that he was saying. I actually called Bill Mayfield the other day. And by the way, his name's probably been used here the last few days more than it has in a number of years. But I called him the other day and told him what I was going to do, and he said that's probably a good idea. I remember when I had that discussion, and so here we are. I do want to thank Tommy Valco, because he listened to some of what I thought I'd put together, and I've actually used some of his data. I had two folks say that I guess you're going to dazzle us, so I guess I'd better get started and see if I can dazzle you. Again, this is just the facts, and I don't have a crystal ball. I'm sure Bill Mayfield's was a lot better than what my projections would ever be. Let's just start with a kind of a overview of the cotton ginning industry. And I have to use NAS numbers because we want to be consistent. And NAS in 2012, and that's the last real data I have, said that there were 671 operating cotton gins in the United States. I already know that there's a problem with that number, because if you looked at New Mexico actually gained two gins last year from 2011. So take that with a grain of salt. There were fewer than 671 gins that actually operated. If you look at AMS Classing Office data, the number of gins that are actually sending samples to gins, from the gins to AMS, if you count up everything, you only come up with 627 gins. There was a number used yesterday of 632. That was by EWR. So to say the numbers of gins are continuing to fall, and I've got some slides that I'm gonna show you more about that shortly. More direct producer ownership. We know that that has occurred. The last time we actually did a survey across the Cotton Belt was probably 10 or so years ago, and at that time we were estimating that 85% of the gins had some sort of producer ownership, either as a co-op or they were on the board. Producers were on the boards of directors. We know that has increased and continued to increase. What has driven the consolidation in the ginning industry, and I'm going to focus on that. Of course, economies of scale. The more we gin, the cheaper we can gin a bale of cotton. And we've also had some technological advances in harvesting and ginning. When it comes to seed cotton transportation, we can haul cotton greater distances, and also want to talk a little bit about that as well. Looking at the average bales ginned and the number of cotton gins, which is the blue line there, we know, and I'm using the time period from 1980 to 2014. I mentioned there were 671 cotton gins, and that number of gins, of course, has fallen precipitously. We've had about a 70% reduction in just over 30 years when it came to cotton gins. And of course, we've had some very large crops in that period of time, so you expect the average ginnings to increase, and that's exactly what's happened. Average ginnings for this last crop year, about 25,000 bales per gin. The big year, back about 2005 and 6, we had a little fewer than 900 gins, and the average there was 26,000 bales per gin. So it is fair to say we're seeing more ginnings. If you look at the consolidated the gin numbers, average bales ginned in the U.S. crop production, as I mentioned, we've had some incredible increases in production. But we've also seen the gin numbers fall. We've seen a corresponding increase in bales gin, as I said earlier. I mentioned economies of scale, and I stole this slide from Tommy Valco's gin cost survey. As you see, it clearly shows the more gins you, the more bales you, that a gin is able to gin, the less per bale it costs to gin a bale of cotton. There is, does seem to be a, an area where it does level out. You get around 50,000 bales or so, that becomes flatter. It will be interesting to see in the future as we continue to try to get every efficiency we possibly can in a cotton gin, if that number actually will go lower. It'll be interesting to see what the new cost survey is going to tell us. And I remind everybody in the in this room that that has just gone out as of last week, Tommy, and it's very important that you you fill one of those out, because this is exactly why we need the, this information for presentations like this, so I can steal the slides and use them later. But anyway, I was a little reluctant to use this slide, and I did mention, though, that new technology, we've always said that new technology, especially when it came to modules and moving seed cotton over greater distances, has increased the decline in the gin numbers, because you don't have to have a gin at every corner anymore, at every crossroads. When I was a boy, and there's John Lindemood, there was a gin at every major crossroads in our county. And the reason being is because cotton was being hauled in cotton trailers, and that is no more. In fact, they have the only cotton gin left in Lake County now, and I suspect most of it's being hauled in modules to that gin. But it does allow for that. And I do think that you saw a increase in the number of gins that were went out of business or consolidated with other gins due to that. I put the John Deere down there, the green, that's the closest thing I could find to a John Deere green. But we know that that harvesting technology and the ability to load round modules on flatbed trucks, you can haul them on an interstate, which is perfectly legal, something we could not do with a regular module truck. You wonder, you just have to wonder if this is going to impact and influence the number of gins and consolidations as we go forward. It was amazing how fast, looking at that red line, we did adopt that technology, the module technology. Every time I think we're at 100%, I stand in a gin and somebody drives across the scale with a trailer, which is exactly what happened in the fall. So there are still some trailers out there, but we're pretty much at 100% when it comes to modules in the United States. Again, about 2007-08 is when we started the new John Deere technology was out there. It is absolutely amazing how many round modules you see in the Southeast and Mid-South. That is, they're talking about the stripper, and that's going to be out there at some point, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in Texas as well. Someone asked me once why we spent so much time at our gen schools on round modules. And I remind them how fast this technology has taken hold. Genners have to know how to handle these modules, how to remove the wrap safely and get all the plastic material out of the gen. I had a genner that told me, said I had zero round modules in 2010. By 2011, it was 60%. And I haven't talked to him since, but we know that it's increasing. Again, stealing a slide from something that Texas A&M did a number of years ago, back in 2009, they were looking at transportation costs. There's actually a link to Cotton Incorporated's website that gives you a general the idea what does it cost me to retrieve that cotton at a distance, and when is it to my advantage to do so. I talked about economies of scale. If in the big circle there, you've got a gin, and it may be pulling cotton close around. Let's call it that's that captive cotton in that 25-mile radius. And in this example, they use 32,000 bales. Is it to my advantage to go 60 miles to retrieve another 10,000 bales? What does that give my gen in terms of efficiencies and economies of scale and reduced number when it comes to dollars to gen those bales overall? And my question is, and I ask this question, what does it do now with the new round module harvesters? Is that number 100 plus miles? Can you retrieve cotton? We know that there's cotton being hauled that far now. We got cotton being moved in the Mid-South that far on flatbed trucks. So what is that new target now? And will that have an impact on consolidation as we move forward? Some of the discussions that we've had here about presses, we do know that you cannot gin any more than you can press out a bale, and that's important. Mr. Vandersloos was talking about what's going on in Australia. They've got 30 some odd gins there, and with the over 100,000 bales, are we going to see that number continue to increase in the future, the average ginnings per gin? Here's an interesting, I thought it was an interesting slide. It gets into how far are we willing to transport cotton. Necessary harvested acres to produce an 18 million bale crop. I remind you back in 1980, which was a significant drought year, you were looking at 21 million acres to produce an 18 million bale crop. There was a number of years where the United States averaged around a bale an acre. That number has trended downward since then. In fact, just a few, last year, we could have produced an 18 million bale crop on 9.7 million acres. Now, that's planted acres. You have to calculate in about a 15% level of reduction, so you're looking at fewer harvested acres, but that's about what it takes. Are we willing to move that extra distance to pick those bales up? And I think that's something that ginners are going to have to ask. You do not want a producer making the decision to plant cotton or not to plant cotton because he's concerned about the proximity of his farm where that cotton's being grown to a cotton gin. And that's something that we're going to have to look at in the future. Of course, trends in ginning, increased widths. We've already talked some about that here over the last day or two. And of course, bale press modifications to meet that demand in the increased speeds and the increased width of that equipment. We've also seen over the course of the last several years, our leaf grades have gone up. We've also seen some gens put in additional pre-cleaning equipment to address some of that concern. We've already had, we had our panel yesterday that talked about gen processing and monitoring control. Jimmy Ropolo talked about using the IntelliGen system and moisture mirror. Those are the types of technologies that we're seeing more used in gens to help them be as efficient as they possibly can, but also produce the best quality crop that they can. In the future, we know, we've got did a presentation not long ago and called it Regulation Nation, because we continue to write regulations, and those will affect all of us in here. Regulatory issues, of course, when it comes to gins. If you got a gin in the middle of a town, what are the impacts if we are required to use stricter controls? The cost of implementing that would have to be something that would have to be considered in whether you would whether do that or build a new gin outside of town or consolidate or whatever. Everywhere you look, we're trying to reduce labor. Greg Holt's presentation on needs of the ginning industry, one of those was labor. reducing labor. If you look in a cotton gin now, fewer hands in there. Used to have a number of employees around the press. We've a lot of automatic strapping and tying systems, even new bagging type systems that are available. So any way that you can to reduce operating costs, some of the new controls there as well. And also providing additional services, vertically integrating, marketing fiber, marketing cottonseed, and providing other services as well. Increased capacities, we've talked a great deal about that while we've been here. Annual volumes, as I've discussed, what is the gin willing to go after those additional bales to increase their volume, to increase their efficiencies and reduce their overall cost of ginning per bale. Maximizing the gin the bale values, and that is getting the most out of the fiber quality, as our quality panel discussed yesterday. And then also gin byproducts. We're selling a lot of burrs and other materials, and we had some of our ginners talk about reclaiming fibers from trash. That's either going into a separate bale and being marketed, or going into a moat bale, independent of the lint bale that's going into the marketplace. With that, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today, and I'd be glad if anybody has any questions, try to answer them for you. Any questions? Thank you.